through your Spirit. Pray, Father, that we'll have an understanding of it and an application for it. That as we move from here, from what we hear, that we become doers of the Word, not just hearers only. And so we just give these moments to you and ask that you'll speak to us, and grateful again for your presence with us. And we knit our hearts together to hear your Word. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, how many this last week had an opportunity to do a random act of kindness? Anybody? That was our message last week, an encouragement to go out and do things for others that are random and displaying an act of kindness. I want to tell you that last Sunday, I was headed down to choir and I needed to go get gas. So I drove into the gas station and had an opportunity to do some a random act of kindness. Not to burst your bubble, but no, I didn't pay for the person in front of me. But as I was filling my tank up, there was a car in front who was there. A guy was on his cell phone, and he was trying to get his gas cover open, and he was clicking the button. You could hear it working, but it didn't want to release the latch to open it up. And he sat there the whole time. Sometimes he'd turn the car off, turn it on, turn it off, and then he'd hit the button again, and it just wouldn't work. And so I'm observing all this, and I finished, did my thing, and came back, and I said to him, I've noticed that you're having some difficulty getting your gas cap, your cover open. He says, yeah, it just won't release. So he's sitting there clicking it, and I go up, and I just kind of hit it a little hard like that, and it pops open. So that was my act of kindness last Sunday. So, but I really did feel the nudging, because I could have driven off, right? Any other day, I might have, but, okay, I'll see if there's anything I can do. He was trying to pry it open with his fingers, and I just went up and gave it a gentle tap while he was pushing the button. Not thinking that would work, and it did. And so he was happy. I was happy. We went away. And so I just really felt that God was nudging me to help him out. Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. You can turn there if you'd like. That's where we're going to be springboarding off for the morning's message. Paul is writing these words from prison on the heels of speaking about a call for unity in the church, and especially between two feuding women, calling on them to remember their acts of service in the church. He's inviting them to exhibit a spirit of unity or harmony, to come together. He's also then going to launch into a word of encouragement that in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of things that we tend to fear, pray about those and experience the peace of God. Pray about everything, he says, instead of fearing about everything. And God's presence, his peace, will override you, and you'll have that sense of peace in your life. Sandwiched in between this admonition of unity and prayer is this verse that we're going to look at this morning, Philippians 4:5. King James renders that word gentleness that we have in the New International Version as moderation. Let your moderation be evident to all. The New Living Translation uses the word consideration. Let your consideration be evident to all. What comes to mind when you hear the word gentle or gentleness? I immediately thought about a 17th century society, the upper class, sitting around drinking tea with their little pinky. That kind of comes to mind, that spirit, their demeanor, where everyone is polite. There's an appropriate nature in which you respond to each other, and politeness just kind of oozes out in that kind of a setting.
Maybe you think about a new mother in middle of the night. A piercing cry comes from the crib, and the mother is awakened, in which she gathers her senses and ambles down the hallway to where that crying infant is bellowing, and tenderly scoops the child up and maybe softly strokes the cheeks to soothe the infant, who for some reason needs to have an exhibit of gentleness so that they go back to sleep. Last spring, Robin and David went down to visit Robin's mom in Arizona. And one of the places that they were able to go was a hummingbird sanctuary. And so I have a number of pictures with David holding a hummingbird. Now, oftentimes a three-year-old and a hummingbird don't necessarily mesh. But there he was, just very gently holding that hummingbird who sat very still in his palm. Gentleness. Maybe it's the way in which you hold a small chick or a butterfly. Is gentleness the way in which you open an antique book with its yellowed and brittle pages? If you want to see what's in the contents of that book. I've seen tenderness, gentleness exhibited after a funeral when people are passing by the casket to pay their final respects. And a family member, a loved one, will lean over the casket and tenderly or gently kiss the forehead. Gentleness. What image comes to mind when you think of it? We're in Philippians 4 and verse 5. Follow again with me in that verse. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Be gentle to all. The Lord is near. This is the end of our year-long journey. Sometimes journeys, the end of a journey can be bittersweet, bitter in some respect because it's the culmination of something that we've been coming to, but yet it can also be sweet because of the lessons that we have learned along the way. Changes that we have made in our life as a result, hopefully, of some of the things that we have learned about what we believe, and then because of what we believe, what we practice. And then because of what we practice, the character traits that come out as a result of what we believe. And so we are today on the end of that journey. Next week, Pastor Don will be here sharing, so be praying for him. And then the following week will be our Christmas program. And the following week will be the 20th, which is Christmas, just a message on Christmas. And then the last Sunday, we'll be looking at launching into a study in the book of Acts. So kind of an overview of that. So today is the end of a journey, as we began back at the first Sunday of January, looking at those 10 core beliefs and 10 core practices and 10 core virtues. We conclude this series today on the subject of gentleness. And without the sake of redundancy, I want to say up front that in many respects, it's going to be similar to what we talked about last week with the issue or character trait of kindness. There are some similarities that you'll see as they overlap. But yet it is, stands on its own as a character trait that the Holy Spirit produces in us as we look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Today we're going to look specifically at gentleness. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Paul is writing this letter, this pastoral epistle to his friend and protege, Timothy. It's someone that he has worked with and has put in charge of a number of churches overseeing the responsibilities of the other pastors and churches in the region of Ephesus. And so he's writing to Timothy here about how he can encourage his friend in the faith and keep him encouraged in the responsibilities that have been given to him. And we come to chapter 6 and verse 11, and it says, "But you, man of God, flee from all of this." The things that preceding in these in chapter 6 were concerns that would pull him away from responsibility, that would perhaps sever his heart in looking at the responsibilities that had been given, things that can pull away his love for the Lord and those tasks that had been given him. And so he lists those, and he says to Timothy, "Flee from those things, man of God. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." He's asking Timothy to track after them, to seek it, to follow that, to capture it, to devote himself to these characteristics. And one that he asks is that of gentleness. Webster's dictionary defines gentleness as belonging to the upper class, or politeness, refined, being courteous or chivalrous, generous, easily handled, serene, patient, not violent, harsh, or rough. To add to the definition, Webster's goes on to describe or define gentleness using the illustration of a horse, and that gentleness is power restrained or energy restrained. Shared in Sunday school about a friend of mine who was a nurse and boarded horses. And one of the horses that she had at her stables was a horse who was the grandson or great-grandson of the last Triple Crown winner. Won all three of those races in 1 year. And so the genes of this horse was to race, and it had been a rescued horse. And so she said, she described going out and riding this horse and just going out, and you could feel, she said, the muscles tense up because it wanted to just let loose, because that's what it was bred for. And yet it was restrained power because it submitted to the will of someone else. And that's what Webster's describes it as. When you think of wild, a horse comes to mind, it's restrained strength. One day a guide took a tour, a group around a tour of a plant, a factory. And he showed them a giant steam hammer. And this hammer could come down and crush a car. That's how powerful it was. But then to show that its strength could be restrained, it set a walnut on the floor of that press and came down and it cracked the shell without damaging the meat inside. That's what gentleness is. Among the things that I learned this week about gentleness, our biblical perspective is nowhere near what Webster's defines it as. It is so much more. Listen to these definitions from a biblical perspective of what gentleness includes. Thoughtfulness, considerateness, calmness in dealing with others, graciousness, self-control or patient endurance, goodwill, yieldedness, kindness, sweet reasonableness or not argumentative, indulgence in the failures of others, leniency. That's quite a list, isn't it? It includes so much more than just being polite. But did you notice one overriding character trait that encompasses all of those definitions? It describes gentleness as being other-focused, thinking about someone else before your own self in dealing with them. It takes care not to harm another person, either in words or actions. It is a trait that always has someone else in mind, regardless of the way in which they may have been treating you.
It is Christ-like consideration of others. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians 10 and verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers... Oh, that's 1 Corinthians. I said 2 Corinthians, and you're already there. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I think that's essential to understand that Paul is recognizing his gentleness isn't in his own power, but it's something that is coming from the Lord. And the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. 1 Corinthians, there's the 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 21. Paul, in responding to the Corinthians in this first letter, says, what do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a whip or in love with a gentle spirit?
In 1 Corinthians and in 2 Corinthians, Paul is dealing with issues of concern that are of sin nature. There was disunity in the body. There were factions within the group of believers at the church.
That was one issue.
Another issue was the blatant sin that one of the congregation was committing and the church hadn't dealt with it.
That was another issue. Chapter 11, he deals with how they were coming to the communion table, how they were responding to those in a love feast, in their fellowship dinners.
The rich were eating a lot, the poor were going away hungry, and Paul is admonishing them for their response in those situations. In the second letter, Paul is responding to a question of his authority. Some of the believers there in Corinth didn't believe that he had an apostolic authority, that he was self-proclaimed as an apostle. And so they weren't willing to follow his direction, his guidance, his instructions. And they felt that he had just appointed himself. And so he's responding and he's saying, I want you to take care of all these issues of concern. If you don't, when I can do it gently, but if you aren't willing to do it and follow up on it, then I am going to take care of it. I, who am generally timid, will be bold in that case. Let your gentleness be evident to everyone. Let it be obvious. Let it be seen. Let it be visible to everyone.
Regardless of how we respond, others will notice. Would you agree with me on that? People see how we react, don't they? Good or bad, they see it. Let it be evident, your gentleness evident to everyone. You're racing through the hall to get to class on time, and someone accidentally knocks your books out of your hands. Ever happened to you? Has to me. How do you respond? You're at a restaurant and you're going to cash out and you notice that the waitress has brought you the wrong bill. You didn't order those two lobsters and that chocolate lava dessert. But there it is. And it's 10 minutes before the waitress comes around to check on things, and how do you respond? Without getting all the facts about an issue at work, your boss calls you into the office and he lets you have it. You feel hurt and humiliated for something you didn't do that he's stating that you did or didn't do. How do you respond? You get a phone call one evening, and it's not a salesman or a telemarketer. It's a friend who happened to see your son or daughter in an inappropriate activity. They're letting you know what it is, and you have time before they get home with friends to think about it. How will you respond? The drain backs up. The antique bed frame breaks. Your son doesn't know any better than when the little flashy blue light on the computer looks so pretty and he pushes it when you're in the middle of downloading transactions by paying your bills. How do you respond? Or you come upstairs and you find that your dog has just strewn Kleenex through the whole house because the bathroom door was left open and got in the trash can. How do you respond? You have to take your computer back a second time because it wasn't fixed right the first time. How do you respond? Paul admonishes us to respond in gentleness because others are observing. Our actions are obvious to them. Turn to 1 Peter 3. First Peter in chapter 3. I am there at 1 Peter. In this verse, we want to see that we should demonstrate gentleness through our words. Demonstrate gentleness through our words. 1 Peter 3, beginning of verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Our speech is to be with gentleness. In this instance, he's using the example of an individual who's asking about the hope that is in you. Our hope is in Christ. And so when we are speaking to them, he's saying that do it gently when they're asking about the hope that we have of the Savior, the hope that we have of eternal life. We can tell people that in harshness that if they don't trust Christ, they're going to hell. Or we can do it gently. How would you rather have a person respond by the way in which you approach them? I'd rather have it be a gentle spirit. And so Paul is saying here to us, Peter as well, that in our words we need to be gentle. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I've been hit with sticks and stones, not intentionally. But yes, I have been. And they hurt. And they leave scars or bruises. But those scars are just memories. There's a scar there, sliding into third base, head first. Rocks, gravel. I got a scar right there from when my dog, I was 8 or 9, nipped me. It's right there. I don't feel the pain anymore, but I know it's there. The back of this hand, my dad inadvertently lowered a torch and burned the back of it. That hurt then, but it doesn't now. See, sticks and stones may break my bones. Those will heal. But is it true that words will never hurt me? Sometimes they cut so deeply that the wounds never heal. Sometimes they are in the core so ingrained in us that it's difficult for anything to come in and heal them. Paul tells us here, we are to demonstrate gentleness in our words. Even if what we hope to say in truth may sting, gentleness, though, is never a breeding ground for harsh or cutting or inappropriate language. Child comes home with a report card. It's decent, but it doesn't meet the standards that you want. How do you respond? There's hollering.
Sometimes it's, you know, you're just a lazy loser. Apply yourself.
More hollering. Go to your room. Don't come out until you're told to. And now there's crying. Proverbs 15:1 says, who was asking about that? You were earlier. Proverbs 15:1, mark that down. Okay. Sunday school, she wanted to know. She says, it's in Proverbs somewhere. And I said, it's in the message. So here it is. A gentle answer turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs up anger. Let your gentleness be evident to all. If we want to keep peace in our home, learn to respond with gentleness. Matthew 12:36-37 say, but I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. There's a machine out. I don't know if you're aware of this, but you can hook it up to your DVD player or your television, and it filters out profanity. Have you ever seen or heard anything like that? And that's what it does. Wouldn't it be great if we had a machine, something to hook up to us, so that when we speak, it's just gentleness rather than harsh words? How many agree that we already have something like that? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us, and He is that mechanism by which God has helped us to be able to be gentle in our response to others. Ephesians 4:29-32, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. See, in our harshness, if we're not gentleness, it can grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate. Compassionate is another word that is translated gentle in some forms. Forgiving each other just as in Christ God has forgiven you. Psalm 141 and verse 3, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. The psalmist is giving us some good advice that as we respond to others, an appropriate way to begin first is to pray, asking for a gentle spirit as we speak, that the words will be edifying and building up. When we allow the indwelling Holy Spirit to control our character, He produces this very important character trait in us. So we demonstrate gentleness in our words. Scripture also admonishes us to be gentle in our actions as well. Gentle in our actions. Here's a story that's told about George Washington while he was at Valley Forge.
He was passing through the camp one day, and on this particular day, he noticed that there was a corporal who was giving instructions to three soldiers to lift this very large log and to put it in place. And it was obviously too heavy for these three soldiers, and yet he continued to demand, all right, now men, lift, one, two, three, lift, and they would try, and it would just fall back down. Washington came along, and he was asking, why didn't he help? Why didn't this corporal assist these other three men? And he stood up, and not knowing that it was Washington, he was in a trench coat, but not knowing it was Washington himself, the general of the army, told him, sir, I am a corporal. It is beneath me. Washington went over, helped the other three men, and they were able to put it in place. On another occasion, Washington was on a fox hunt, and the horse went over the stone wall, and the rear hoof of the horse knocked over one of the stones onto the ground, and he stopped his horse, dismounted, picked up the stone, and placed it back in place where it belonged. And a friend commented that Washington was too big a man to do such a task. And Washington responded, no, I'm just the right size.
Gentleness is seen in our actions. It is not natural, it's supernatural. Turn to Galatians 6, chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2.
Galatians 6, beginning of verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him. How? How does your word read? Restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Think for a moment about past experiences in which someone exhibited a response other than gentleness to you. What was your natural inclination?
Paul is telling the Galatians here that as we approach someone, we need to do it with a spirit of gentleness. One author made this suggestion that I thought was pretty good. If something happens where all of a sudden you find yourself on fire, what do we tell people? Stop, drop, and roll. So this was this author's suggestion. When we find ourselves in a similar situation, to stop, drop, and roll in a spiritual sense. Stop whatever you're doing at that moment and think and stop yourself from thinking a negative thought or from reacting out of a negative thought. So that's the stopping part. The dropping part is to drop to your knees and pray for God's Spirit to develop gentleness instead of responding harshly. And then his role is to roll that concern over to the Lord in prayer. Give it to the Lord so that your response will be one that would be his response, one of gentleness. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. Psalm 55 and verse 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. To me, that means that when we come to the Lord with some sin we are about to commit seeking his help, he won't let us follow through with it. When we model gentleness in our conduct, our actions, others will sit up and take notice. Keep in mind, as I mentioned earlier, that true biblical gentleness is other-focused. It's thinking about them. There is a submissive spirit, if you will. There is some commonality with humility, kindness, and how we treat them. One person said, gentleness is when you care enough to choose not to be harsh, rash, angry, or rough. Someone in Sunday school had mentioned that to them, gentleness might be keeping silence, not saying anything. That could be one response, gentleness. Another person said, a gentle person knows better than to harm others and so chooses to act in a way that does not. A gentle person does not seek to make other people angry.
We are to demonstrate gentleness in our words. We are to demonstrate gentleness in our actions. And finally, we are to demonstrate gentleness in our attitudes.
Ephesians 4:2 says, but be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. This verse speaks of being considerate of others, and it begins with our own attitudes. Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It implies a submission to the will of God, who desires to put his nature, his character in us. A gentle spirit is a teachable spirit, a spirit in which it is willing to listen to the advice of others, to consider it. It's not concerned with the letter of the law as it is with the intent or the spirit of the law. Turn to Philippians chapter 2.
Because this is the essence or the prime example of where we see gentleness exhibited. beginning at verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus is our example of gentleness. It's exhibited in which he came down from heaven and became a man like us, lived among us. In Matthew 11, he says to bring our needs to him, our burdens to him, because he is gentle and humble of spirit. In these verses, as they relate to the person of Christ who displayed a gentle attitude, we see gentleness does not consider itself better than others. Gentleness takes on the nature of a servant. Gentleness takes up its cross and submits to God. The very nature in which Christ exhibited gentleness to the Father, to us, is the very nature in which we need to also exhibit that as well. When we were playing basketball in high school, my brother always said he never played as good as well as he would like to when Mom was there. Said he couldn't be as aggressive. Always thought that she was going to give him a lecture when we got home because of his attitude. I didn't see any difference in the way he played, but he said he did anyways. Paul says here that we are to show gentleness to everyone because the Lord is near. Now we could take that to mean he is present or near in terms of space. That it could be that in relation to the indwelling Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ is with us. And so our attitude, our nature is to be one of gentleness. So from that respect, just like my brother who said he didn't play as well in basketball because Mom was present, we need to be mindful that because of Christ's presence with us in terms of space, we need to exhibit gentleness. The Lord is with us, so we need to be mindful of that. It could also refer to time, that the Lord's coming is near. So yes, Paul, in writing to the Philippians, they understood as well that there wasn't anything that would prohibit the Lord's return at any time. And so Paul is saying that because the Lord's presence or return is going to be near, then you need to consider also that your response should be one of gentleness. So either way, time or space, it's not clear in the context of what Paul is referring to. We could take it either way. We need to have a gentle spirit. Whether the Lord is coming soon, we agree that He is, or whether the Lord's presence is with us through the Holy Spirit, we know that He is. We are to exhibit a gentle spirit to each other. Would others describe you as gentle in your words? Would they say that you're gentle in your actions or in your attitudes? How would Jesus want you to respond today when confronted with a decision? Is His gentleness in you evident to all? Gentleness is power under control. Let's pray. You have given to us, Father, the Holy Spirit to help us develop this attitude of gentleness. And so it is in this week, whatever circumstances we might find ourselves, our response is to be one of gentleness. And so we ask that we will yield to the work of your Holy Spirit in us so that we will develop that character trait. Forgive us of those times in which our attitude or our actions or our words were anything but gentle. And so help grow us to become the people that you desire for us to be in this character
exhibiting the spirit of gentleness so that, as we have read, when others ask about the hope that is in us, as they see the evidence of your working, that we will, with a gentle spirit, give them an answer for that hope. So it is more attractive to people to see that spirit or nature than one of harshness. That's repelling. It rejects. And so instead of drawing people to you, it pushes them away. So in this week, as we have opportunity, may we exhibit that character trait that was seen in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, while He was here on earth, and also be people of gentleness. And we'll give You thanks, Father, for all that You're going to do in us and through us, for Christ's sake and for Your glory. Amen.